Now joining me on the phone is Dr. Ranjit Kudali. He joins us once a month to discuss the latest in chemistry research around the country. Dr. Kudali, thanks for coming on the program today.
Kara, it's great to be on SDPB.
And this is the first time where I've asked you to come up with a topic. I requested the topic, and it is
absolutely
about chemistry in the brain. So thank you for doing that research and coming up with this. And my first guest actually referred to this, and this is a study that you have found that's happening in the chemistry world. And it's showing some positive results, and this is how the brain reacts, an injured brain reacts. So go ahead and give us I did a really bad job of setting that up, didn't I? But I'll let you talk a little bit more about it.
So chemists have been always intrigued, Kara, by ways and means to deliver drugs to cross the blood-brain barrier, what is called as the BBB, the blood-brain barrier. So it's actually something that helps the brain so that toxic materials do not cross the brain, and so it keeps our brains in being healthy. And unfortunately, it also is a challenge because of this barrier, one cannot easily find treatments for diseases of the brain. So if we have some neurodegenerative diseases, such as the traumatic brain injury, or diseases of brain, such as Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, Huntington disease, etc., it is often a challenge to find an effective drug that can cross or penetrate the blood-brain barrier. So what if you look at the structure of this blood-brain barrier, you have a continuous membrane that protects the brain, and then there is these endothelial cells, and then there is the blood. And so there are these tight junctions that sometimes provide pathways for water-soluble agents. So that is one way of transporting small molecules. So like water and oxygen, many things can flow through these tight junctions. But to deliver drugs, it becomes a challenge because many of these drug molecules are larger in size. And so trying to find effective treatments for diseases of the brain has fascinated neuroscientists and chemists for a large number of years.
And so they've actually have good results in some mouse studies?
Yes. So what our understanding of the pathways are still not fully clear. So there are 7 proposed mechanisms by which, for lack of a better word, a foreign agent can cross or penetrate the blood-brain barrier. And some of it are involved the use of transport proteins. So glucose, amino acids, nucleosides, those are all necessary for effective functioning of the brain and cells. Those can be easily transported. But now if you want to deliver drugs, it is the mechanism is still it's unclear. But in recent years, with the advent of nanomedicine, people are using nanoparticles and trying to use nanoparticles as transport agents or as cargoes to cross the blood-brain barrier. So in this study that was just published earlier this month, it was a collaborative work between the Department of Bioengineering at in Seattle, Washington, and the University of Nebraska, Lincoln. The scientists actually used some organic molecules. These are molecules that are called surfactants, so they have hydrophilic or water-loving molecules, and they also have hydrophobic or organic-loving molecules. And they customize these molecules. These are common surfactants that are actually used in pharmaceutical, cosmetic, food applications. So essentially, they found a creative way to modify a commercially available organic molecule, a surfactant, which is essentially like soap, and through some very creative and ingenious chemistry, they were able to demonstrate that these nanoparticles can actually reduce neuroinflammation And they can also improve the outcome. And they monitored a mouse after it was a mouse model where it was given injuries consistent with traumatic brain injury, and they found that these mouse that were injected with these nanoparticles actually can, to a certain degree, have reduced neuroinflammation and improved recovery and learning. However, the motor function, no differences in the motor function was observed. So these scientists, especially basic biomedical scientists and neuroscientists, are long intrigued by the use of these nanoparticles, which are relatively small and that can go through tight junctions or can go through a mechanism called a cell-mediated transcytosis. Essentially, these materials can be taken up by some cells and transported across the interior of a cell.
Hmm. And is this a kind of a target type of therapy? Is everybody going to be, I mean, obviously it all depends on where the injury is in the brain. Is that going to make a difference?
Well, it's a great question. So what the barriers that have been currently in use of nanoparticles for effective delivery of drugs to the brain has been the low reproducibility of these nanoparticles. And what usually happens, Kara, is that these nanoparticles, they are functionalized by organic molecules. And so these organic molecules have some reactive compounds, and they react with the constituents of the cell, the blood, the plasma, etc. And there is something, a dynamic equilibrium. Some of these molecules on the surface are not connected strongly, so there is always this interaction between these molecules and proteins in the cells. And these form what is called a protein corona. So these nanoparticles are like a shell, and then they are surrounded by a sheath of other cellular particulates, proteins and other things. And collectively, this protein and this nanoparticle have to cross the blood-brain barrier. So one can imagine the nanoparticles themselves are relatively larger in size, and they have a high molecular weight. And once you have these proteins tagging onto the surface, it becomes a very bulky molecule, and there are no avenues for it to cross the blood-brain barrier. But what was very interesting in this study was they actually used these surfactant molecules, commercially available, that is used in pharmaceuticals, cosmetics, etc. But these molecules, they actually self-assemble, and they form a micellar-like structure. And it's what is interesting is that these transcytosis, which is a mechanism for transport of macromolecules across the interior of a cell, is actually done by vesicles. So the structure that they designed had the functionality of a vesicle that actually is involved in transcytosis or movement of macromolecules across the interior of the cell. So they were very creative in designing a molecule that mimics and helps in transcytosis. And what they also did, interestingly, was the core of their nanoparticle surfactant had a thiol group, a carbon S carbon bond, and this molecule has the ability to scavenge reactive oxygen species. The term reactive oxygen species is a collective term for hydroxyl radicals, superoxide radicals that can cause damage to the cells. So
Dr. Kudali, we need to leave it there. We are running out of time. And so I want to thank you for taking time and bringing this fascinating research to our attention today.
Thank you, Kara.
Really,
it's a great pleasure to be on SDPB.